is Black Friday, November 29th, 2013. This is Aaron Smith, the Art Guy, and you are listening to The Academic Aesthetic. Alright, if you are listening in the United States, I hope that you are not in a tryptophan coma still, and I hope that you are being safe as you do any Black Friday shopping that you might be doing. I intend to do mine online because, frankly, I don't like crowded public places, but never mind about that and the irony that I'm a teacher. Alright, first up, there's this really cool video. It's literally called an Instagram short film. Now, I'm not a big user of Instagram, but this particular person, Thomas Julian, I believe his name is, went on to Instagram and he got a whole bunch of pictures of public places, particularly landmarks, because a lot of people will tag landmarks, so it's easy to find. I believe he was going through France when he did this. I could be wrong. And he combined them in a way that it appeared to be a stop-motion animation. The cool thing about this is no two shots were taken by the same person, so while it looks like it was a stop-motion animation, it was really combined and crowdsourced, and probably not planned by the people who took the photos originally. Now, I do have some concerns as to did he have the copyright permissions to do this with their images. I don't know if you can make a setting in Instagram that says, yes, this is under Creative Commons license, you can do this or whatnot, and I didn't see something that gave credit for their work in particular. But I think this is a cool idea and a potential lesson idea to use with students, where you give them cameras, and maybe you don't give them all cameras at once. Maybe you give each one a camera at a certain time and say, okay, go out and take a picture of this spot, and 5 minutes later you go out and take a picture with the same camera at this spot, and then you rearrange them to create some type of movie, which, you know, I think that could work out really well. It could be done to do a time lapse of, say, a plant growing. It could be done to show, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I think that's a cool idea. Next up is a series of x-rays, where this is also by a photographer, a guy Viner, I'm not sure as to how to pronounce his last name, V-I-N-E-R. But in any case, what he did was he took a whole bunch of camera lenses, like the lenses that you would stick to a professional SLR or DSLR camera, and he took x-rays of them. And DIYphotography.net has a whole bunch of them up on their site. I had to use theirs in particular because he posted his to 500px or 500px.com, and many places block them because they do photo hosting, but apparently there's enough photos there. I don't know. My county blocks 500px.com, so I can't go to the source to use these photos in my classroom unless I download them in advance. But DIYphotography.net has them as well, and I believe they've included them with permission. And it does give links to the originals, which is good, I guess. But these are really awesome because you don't realize how complex a camera lens really is unless you see inside of it. And these x-rays do a great job of showing you all the various shapes and whatnots and doohickeys inside a professional camera lens. I mean, you can go simple. I mean, you can make a pinhole camera where your lens is essentially a hole in a piece of cardboard, and that can work. But professional lenses get really, really complex, and these are really neat designs. I actually want to sort of print these out and hang them in my room. So, actually, I'm not at school right now. Can I click on this? And oh my gosh. Oh wait, well, yeah, I guess that's why. Alright, so I just clicked on the link, and I'm not signed in because I don't have an account, and I'm very grateful because apparently Guy Vinner, while he did that really cool thing with the lenses, he takes a lot of adult content photos, or at least they're labeled that way, and all I'm seeing are gray boxes that are labeled adult content. If I was at school, I wouldn't even be seeing this page because, frankly, it would be blocked by my county, and that's probably why, because it's adult content all over it. So, wow, I'm glad I discovered that. But the lenses are really cool, and I think the lenses really have a use in the classroom setting for explaining the complexities of technology. So, I'm just not going to show his page to the students. But there you go. And last up is a wonderful quote by Will Richardson, and another Tumblr user took his quote and turned it into a poster using a website called Recite, which is kind of neat. And, well, Will Richardson's on Tumblr also, which is pretty cool. If you go to his current website, the one he uses now, which is willrichardson.com, and it's Will with two L's, by the way, that's a Tumblr page, and if you're logged into Tumblr, you'll see a link at the top that says subscribe and dashboard, etc. So you can click on, like, if you are logged into Tumblr and you go to willrichardson.com, you can follow him on Tumblr, which is really, really neat because Will Richardson's an awesome guy. But here's his quote. Students can hold the sum of human knowledge in their hand with a device that is the size of a deck of cards, yet we still tell them to turn those devices off. This is a sticking point for a lot of teachers. I understand that a lot of teachers insist on being the center of attention in their room. We, and by we I mean most of us who are professional educators at this point, grew up in a teaching environment where we had a sage on the stage. We had someone in front of the room that was explaining the sum of all human knowledge related to their subject to us, and we had to pay attention to them and take our notes down, and that was it. I had one science class where he had all the notes written on the board for us already, and we spent a lot of the class time copying what he had written for us. You know what? I still lecture sometimes. I admit it, I do. There are times I stand up in front of the classroom and I go through a whole routine with the students. The majority of my teaching is not doing that. The majority of my teaching involves students finding the information and then putting it to practical use. I can't be spending my entire time talking in order for them to do that. I don't care how they're acquiring this information. They could be using the school computers. They could be using a home computer. They could be using a cell phone. Cell phones are a viable means for research. Cell phones are a viable means for creating new media because they've got cameras built into them and they've got microphones built into them. Why in the world would we tell them they're not allowed to use that? They have to use this other system unless we can inherently prove that that other system is better and that's why they need to use it. There needs to be a cost benefit. And the costs don't outweigh the benefits for letting them use their own technology. They just don't. The one example that anyone has been able to give me that makes any kind of sense is, oh, I don't want them to end up goofing off. You know what? If you take their cell phones away from them, they can goof off other ways. It's not going to stop them from goofing off. And if we're teaching them to use the technology appropriately, there will be more people using it appropriately. The ones who would get distracted are going to get distracted anyway. My mom raised me thinking I loved those Richard Scarry books because I stared at them for hours. I did. I stared at them for hours because his drawings were so busy that they distracted me. This was before cell phones. This was before the internet. I was distracted by a picture. A cell phone can be a distraction. It can be. So can a tape player. So can that picture you have hanging up in the back of your room. So can the graffiti that somebody scratched into your desk. Anything can be a distraction to a willing mind. And our job as teachers is to create an environment where the educational stuff that we want to get into our students' brains is more of a distraction. And that's one of the cool things I think about my job. Okay, so the cat is attacking the back of my chair, and I've gone through three stories. So if you have any thoughts, criticisms, comments, please feel free to get a hold of me. My email address is My email address is theartguy@gmail.com, and you can find links to all my various social networks over at aaronbsmith.com, including a link to academicaesthetic.com, which is where this podcast is hosted. So if you have any thoughts, I already went through that. It's Black Friday, and I've been up since 5, not to go shopping, but to take my wife to dialysis. So I'm probably not even going to edit this. I'm just going to throw music in the background and say have a good day. So, have a good day.